Good evening, everyone. This is Metaphysical Hour with Dolores Cannon. And we're live tonight. This is the last day of February, February the 28th in 2014. And we're supposed to have a guest tonight, a really very important guest, and we're trying to get him. And all we're doing is getting his machine, so that they said they're going to keep trying, and they'll patch him in when they find him.
Uh-oh. Did the aliens get him again?
Because our guest is Travis Walton. If a lot of you know about the UFO field, he's the one that was taken and disappeared for 5 days, and they made the movie Fire in the Sky on his experience. And we met him a few months ago, and I've invited him to our UFO conference. So he said he was going to be on tonight. So Julia said, did the aliens get him again or what?
I'll tease him about that. Anyway, I'm sure he'll be here.
Yeah, they said they're going to keep trying, and they'll patch him through whenever they can find him. Okay, if you want to call in tonight, the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. And we met Travis, I've known about him for a long time, but we met him in October, wasn't it? We were out in L.A.,
I don't remember what month it was, but I know it was L.A.
Okay. We were shooting for the movie, the UFO movie they're making.
It was before Halloween, yes.
Yeah, right? It's right before Halloween. We were shooting this movie. It's called 701. And they're winding down. It's going to be ready pretty soon. And we were out there being interviewed, and so was Travis. So we had a chance to meet up with him. And we said that was done in the Halloween hotel, very creepy place that they
creepy,
had.
Creepy, it was just very different.
Very different.
I think they call it the castle.
Yeah, but it was very weird. And you can see a lot of movies have been shot there because it had every corner had something different in it.
Right, a lot of props.
A lot of props and things. But we met him out there, and I asked him if he would come to our UFO conference. So I guess while we wait for him, we could talk about the conference that's coming up.
Yeah, we'll just ad-lib here. This is us tap dancing.
Until we get him. And if we don't, we'll just keep on.
Yeah, we'll just keep tap dancing.
Keep bossing here. But okay. We have our UFO conference coming up. This is the one that I inherited last year, when Lou Farish died, and it's the Ozark Mountain UFO Conference in Eureka Springs. And it's the oldest in the United States. It's now in the 27th year. And that's why I just couldn't let it die, because nobody wanted to take over. It's a big job.
It is a big job.
And so when Lou died, nobody really wanted to do it. So I said I couldn't let that happen because I've been involved with it since the very beginning, 27 years ago. So we've taken it over, and last year was our first time for us to do it, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was sellout. We had standing room only, and then there was no room after the first day. And in the past, people have been used to coming in at the last minute and just walking in. You couldn't this time. It was completely sold out. It was over 700 people. So we're expecting the same thing this year, and we've been trying to work out the logistics, problems of the overcrowding and the parking.
Right.
So we're doing it. It's taken a lot of work, but then everything is work.
Right. We have an additional overflow area that will seat another 100 people. So that will have us up there. And then depending on how it starts filling up, we may even add another overflow area. But right now I think we'll be able to hold it at this one.
Yeah, because that main room we had everybody in there, and it held almost 700 people. They were, well, I think they were all crowded in there anyway.
It was cozy.
That's what everybody said, but, you know, we figured we had to do something. They'd never, ever had that many people. I think before it was 400, 500.
I think they'd had up to 600, 650, somewhere in there.
I didn't think it ever got that high. They said 400 to 500.
I thought it had.
That's why it was a huge jump when we took it over last year. Mm-hmm. And we had some wonderful speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going to have some even more wonderful speakers this year. We're trying to have different kinds of speakers, but I'm still trying to stick with Lou's, what his wishes were. He had certain kinds of speakers he wanted. He had certain ways he wanted this run. So we're trying very hard to stick with the way he wanted to do it, because he was a dear, dear friend. But now we don't want to outgrow the place. We've been there for 27 years.
As we're trying to figure out some ways to continue to make this venue work.
And we always fill up all the hotels in town. Mm-hmm. We did last year. So if anybody's planning on coming, you better get your name in now.
Well, and something else we're doing is we're keeping the basic design that he had, and then we're adding a couple of things this year. And then we might keep doing that year to year as just add a little bit just to give more and enrich the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we're adding two films, UFO films. So it'll be a film screening. And then if this goes well, it looks good, then we might add like a whole day of it or something like that, you know, or
like next
more in the
year.
Evening. Right. Just depending on what it looks like, if people like it.
And we can find the film.
Right.
Know?
It'd just be, you know, new films that are being done on UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And then they can be submitted, and it'd be like film premieres and screenings. So,
yeah.
So that's a whole, that way people, that they're able to weigh in on the film.
But that, we're going to have one night anyway where we're going to.
This year.
This year, mm-hmm. where we're going to show some films. And just to see how people think about it.
It's going to be fun. It'll be a whole movie experience. We'll have popcorn and soda and stuff like that. It'll be a movie night.
But tell a little bit about our speakers. We're going to try to have all of them on the show in the next month or so. Tell the date.
It'll be April 11th to the 13th. That's the second weekend in April. It's always the second weekend in April.
It always has been for 27 years.
Yeah, couldn't change that one.
No, even sometimes when Easter fell on that weekend, we mm-hmm. still had it on that weekend at the end of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs. Where it's always been. And so those are the dates, but I'm going to talk about some of the speakers, because between now and then, we're going to be having some of them on our show.
Well, we've had one on our show so far, and that was Sherry Wilde.
Yes, she was on two nights.
Two shows,
yeah. Two shows, because she had so much information.
Right.
She's one of our authors, too. But she had all this tremendous information about her interaction with ETs and UFOs her whole life. And she was a wonderful speaker. We had her back again for some more information. So she's one of the ones that will be there. And then Travis will be there. And I'm not going to spoil his. He still may make it on here. He might interrupt and come in. But, you know, he was the one who was, I think it was in Arizona, where he was with the logging team, and he was taken up in the UFO, and it was very documented, because they had at least 5 to 8 other people that saw it happen. And then, of course, they made the movie out of it, Fire in the Sky. So that's going to be really interesting, because I want to talk about his experience.
And if he doesn't come on tonight, we'll have him hopefully next week. We'll do something to where, next week we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
It'll be the week after.
Yeah, we're on the road again. Next week, we're going to be in Albuquerque.
Right, the Gathering of the Healers conference.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
We'll be there. And they can probably check that out on our website if people want to go to that. There's going to be all kinds of healers with different modalities there.
Right.
So we're going to discuss our healing things that we do, and Julia's going to be speaking three times.
Right, three different workshops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm excited about
that. That's next weekend. So it'll be the weekend after that, I guess, that we'll start with our speakers.
Right.
Okay, so we do have Travis, and I just hope the aliens didn't take him. And
yeah, can you please bring him back?
Bring him back so we can be on the show tonight.
Right.
Okay, but it was funny. We just had an email. I was reminding him of the times
right.
and everything.
Things happen.
Oh, well, yeah, you just have to go with it. Like Julie said, we just got to tap dance around it. So if anybody wants to call in, it's perfectly okay. You want to ask any questions or anything? Oh, I did give the number out. I did. Okay. All right. But let's talk about some of the other speakers we're going to have. We're bringing in Haktan Akdogan.
Akdogan, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to remember his name.
We just call him Haktan.
Yeah, we just call him Haktan. He's from Istanbul in Turkey. And I've met him many times at the Bob Brown UFO conference out in Laughlin. And then he invited me to Istanbul, and we went there this last year. And I did a two-day seminar in Istanbul. And I asked him if he would come to our conference. He has a tremendous amount of UFO information, videos, and footage he's going to be showing of cases that he has investigated. He has the only UFO museum in Europe and Asia. Because, you know, Istanbul sits right there where Europe and Asia come together. And he has this UFO museum that has wonderful things in there. He also has a traveling museum that he goes all over showing it in different places.
So is that will he be bringing that here?
No, it's a bus like that he takes.
Oh, well, he can paddle it across the ocean and
okay.
get it here.
But he has lots of footage of films of UFOs, and he's going to be showing those and talk about these wonderful cases that he's investigated. And he hasn't been over here for two or three years, I think. So the ones who used to go to the Bob Brown conference might remember him. Very intelligent and informative man. So we're bringing him in, and he's going to be showing his films. Let me see, who else? I didn't bring a list because I thought we were going to... Antonio Paris. I don't have the information, but he is sort of an aerial phenomena... group. I didn't bring the information because we wasn't expecting to use
right,
it.
Right.
But he has a tremendous amount of information for many, many years of investigations and cases he has worked on. But we have him on. We'll know more about him then. Oh, let's see. Who else? Well, a lot of the listeners may know Nick Pope. Because a lot of people, especially at this conference, kept wanting to have proof, you know. And they keep wanting to know, when is the government going to release their files? When are they going to release what they have found? Well, Nick Pope is right at the cutting edge of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I even saw him on the CNN, where they were talking about how he was meeting with the... okay, it's not Travis, I guess. Okay, there is a caller. Okay, we'll go back to Nick Pope in a few minutes. Okay, who's there?
Hi, my name is Marianne.
Marianne?
Hi, Marianne. Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
Well,
how are you?
Like you said, we're ad-libbing tonight. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm anxious to hear Travis also, but I do have a question for Julia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Mary. Can we talk now?
Absolutely. I think there's some kind of an echo or something happening in there, but we hear you just fine.
Okay. All right. My question, Julia, is actually for your medical background. I'm dealing with an elderly mother who has had heart surgery in 2009, and my feeling is she's never really regained her full mental capacity, and I know it's common, but I don't know if that could have something to do with the vibrational frequency as well, or if it's a combination of both.
Tell me more about the surgery.
Aortic valve replacement and two bypasses. Mm. And we've gone to the doctors. I lost my job in 2009, so I've been kind of her main caregiver. And I've noticed a lot of different changes in her mental state. And I went to the doctors with her this week, and we've gone on this this episode of going to the doctors, giving her another pill. She can't tolerate it. Something happens. So I've got this cupboard full of these medications that she's been on and that she can no longer take. And intuitively, I feel that a lot of the problems are from the medication, and I think that that they just want to give her another pill. But I also think that there's a lot of vibrational things going on around her that that could possibly be causing some of her like dementia type issues.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Actually, the reason for the heart surgery was some of the ascension stuff, although, you know, they did the valve and everything. There's something coming in, so I'm going to just talk. That's how I work. Sometimes I just have to talk, and then it starts moving.
You get messages
so,
that way.
Yeah, the medicines, and well, this is rough because they're in there doing all kinds of numbers, and so they're working with each other, and they're a lot of the problem right there. And like you said, they keep changing, and that is the mode. I'm not against, you know, the medical community, anything like that. But that tends to be the mode. It's like, well, let's just try this pill. And
sometimes the body rejects it. It doesn't want it.
Yeah, well, and that's where we are now. The bodies can take care of themselves. They don't need these things, but to tell you to have her cleanse her system out is, I mean, that's a big step. And so I can't give medical advice like that. You know, I mean, nobody can. You're going to have to work with the doctor somehow and say, I don't feel like this is right. You're getting that message intuitively, and there's a reason for that. That would help her tremendously to probably get most of that out of her system. She probably would be much clearer. I'm sure it's the medications, because you have noticed her getting worse as they've been playing with all of this, hasn't she?
Yeah, and when I did speak up this last time, I noticed the doctor got a little bit upset with me, and I just feel this welling up inside of me when he mentions another pill, and I spoke up this time, and I said, you know, do we really need this? And you know, he was a little curt. But he took it well, and my feeling is I like to try and keep her on a holistic kind of a regime if possible.
Yes. That would be excellent.
Yeah, and it really is up to you, and I'm glad you brought this up, because that's what people need to know, is you can take the stand. It's okay. And since you're your mother's advocate right now, you're the one. I mean, she can't take the stand for herself, although she might could. It probably would help if she did, if she's on board with that. But definitely you can take the stand for her. And doctors are learning that people are speaking their own minds now, and they are taking their health care into their own hands. And it's like, doctor, you can guide me, but I'm the one that's in charge of my body. Mm-hmm. And that's the new way.
We avoided a surgery that they had wanted to rush her into because of a medication that she had been given that blocked her duodenum, so that they immediately said surgery. And my sister-in-law, fortunately, is a nurse, and she said, no, you don't want that surgeon. Wait for this other one. And by the time the weekend was over, things started to to move again, and she avoided the surgery altogether. So fortunately,
wow,
that worked in her favor. But it's just been like this for her for a long time, and I just want to keep her on a holistic level. She may be. I got your book, and I haven't really quite finished it yet, but I'm really into it. But she is she's having a lot of foot problems, and I think according to what you say in the book is that she doesn't want to go forward with what she has to do, and I agree with that. She's kind of wishy-washy, so you know, I don't know if they if it's something that she doesn't want to face, if she's wanting to leave this world. My father passed away 30, it'll be 30 years next month, and she talks about him a lot. So I think maybe you mentioned the dementia is the person's way of wanting to leave the world, giving us notice.
Well, and look at the heart situation.
Uh-huh.
Look, what's that?
What is the heart?
That was 4 years ago.
But what does it represent?
Well, love, yeah.
Right, you know, so
you know,
she's got...
Lack of love or
right, her,
you know, wanting to be loved.
Yeah, her world is winding down. Her love left, and she may very well be. She may definitely be wanting to do a different direction. I don't know if it's necessarily leaving, but something different than what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I go to her house, and I see she has pictures of my father and her brother who were both passed on. And I get out of the corner of my eye, I see these twinkling white lights near his picture and sometimes in her kitchen. And I think someone's there watching over her. And maybe that is a sign of someone calling her. I don't know.
It could be. It could be that, it may be him. It could be. That's all I keep. I started to say something else, and it just pushed me right back into it could be. So.
Not so much calling her, but be there
her.
Yeah, to help her, and if she does decide to go, they'll be there to go with her, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the medication, a lot of those pills counteract each other when they're taking a lot.
Yeah, and we've gotten her off of just about everything except for like omeprazole, a stomach acid pill, but I don't even think she needs that. But I do notice it takes a great toll on her mental.
Right. It will clear. How long have you been working on getting her off of those, or how long has she been off of most of them?
Well, we just got her off of one this week. So I would say this week we've got her off of a diuretic, which was not doing very well.
Yeah, that can cause stuff because it can make them, I mean, if she's not drinking enough, it can actually make her dehydrated, and it can make some mineral deficiencies, which can cause some confusion. So there's just a lot of sugar there.
Well, okay, I like the holistic approach, and I like to keep going with my intuition.
Absolutely.
And I enjoyed your book very much. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm glad you wrote it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. And
keep up the good work.
You're doing fantastic.
And trust your intuition.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, good.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Well, Don broke in a few minutes ago and said he still keep trying to get a hold of Travis, and he hasn't been successful.
It could be he was on... it's the time zone. Maybe we didn't have the time zone fully figured out what he's in.
Well, it's just supposed to be 1 hour behind us.
Maybe he's actually 2 hours.
Arizona, I think, is supposed to just be 1 hour.
I don't know. Anyway, well...
That could be. He'll be ready when we're off the air.
Well, where are you?
But they said he's still trying to reach him, so we're just going to continue on. And if anyone else wants to call in, we're open to it. But I was talking about Nick Pope. We keep having a lot of people keep saying, why don't the governments release their UFO files? Because we know they know all about the UFOs. We know that they've been aware of these things for many, many years, and they have records. Well, Nick Pope is one who has been right at the forefront of the release of all of these records. He was with the, I don't have all the information in front of me, but he was with the British Intelligence Agency in London, and so he was right up there investigating all everything, you know, criminal cases and everything, and then he knows a lot about the UFOs. And so he knows about the ones that they are releasing some of the records. So in the conference, he's going to be talking about which ones have been released and which ones they're sitting on and why. So that's going to be interesting. And it was on the CNN, they showed him on there in Canada, where they were having a meeting up there with the parliament. And he's been instrumental in getting the Canadian government to release their files on UFOs. So it's no longer a secret. We know they're real, and we know the government knows they're real.
I think China just released theirs recently.
They did. I think they're over there. They're very open about it. No problem there. So they keep saying, well, what, if it was real, the government would tell us about it. Well, we know better than that. The U.S. hasn't done it yet. But he's going to be talking about the other governments and how what they are releasing and what some of the things they're still sitting on. That ought to be very interesting. And I think Antonio Perez also has some information dealing with things like that that have been suppressed, because he's very much involved in those things. So this ought to answer the ones who have been saying, why don't you have that kind of a speaker that will tell us what's really happening? Well, we're going to have it.
We're going to have to pick his brain and see what he knows.
Yeah, and see what we can get. Because, you know, we're trying to broaden our viewpoints here. Okay, I'm trying to think, who else are we going to have?
These are the ones we haven't talked about yet.
Okay, we've talked about Cherry and okay. Tony. Yeah, we called him Tony. Cataldo, he was the one that we were out there filming for the movie. The movie is 701. And we'll be having him on the show also. He's a good friend of ours. I might as well say the name of the movie, 701, is because he said the government, when they go back to all of the cases they have investigated, out of the thousands.
These are the Project Blue Book files, I think.
Right? All of it, but he said back to the thousands and thousands of cases they've investigated, said they had 701 cases that they couldn't explain. So he says, well, what about those cases? So that's why the movie is called 701. Another guest? Okay. Another caller. Okay. Who's there?
Hi there. My name is Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi there. I'm a newbie to your work, and so perhaps a question that I would be asking might be redundant. I don't know. I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times.
It's okay. 1,001 is just wonderful.
And any question is always welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. It is a question about purpose. I'm in my 60s, and I've had two careers, and I seem to not, I've always been driven and had a passion for something, and I feel like I'm just swimming around not knowing what my calling is at this point. Where do I start? How do I start?
Well, that's a big field out there. Because,
yeah.
You know, I do the hypnotherapy, and I see thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And this is what I call the eternal question. Everybody who comes to see me asks the same question. So you're in good company. They always want to know, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Do I have enough time? Am I on the right track? It's always the same thing. And every time when we go through the sessions, the answer is always the same. You're here to help other people.
Really?
But then there's
okay.
a lot of different ways to do that.
Right.
But that's what we're here for, to help each other. Mm-hmm. So you have to find, what is your passion? What is it you really want to do? It would make you happy.
Yeah, because you're at a place now, you've done the other jobs or whatever, for whatever reasons, now you're at a place to do what you want that would make you happy, because that's the best way to spread our energy now, is to just be blissful, mm-hmm. and then that just floats everywhere. And so, you know, so that would be the direction, that'd be the angle to go from. What makes you happy?
Uh-huh.
What makes you blissful?
What would fulfill you? What do you think of?
Well, I'm very drawn to helping horses. You know, helping
yeah.
the situation with horses, especially in the United States, because I can't even think worldwide about it. It just is too comprehensive. But I've kind of put the border at the border. You know, American
mm-hmm.
horses.
Then start where you are, because you don't want to make it too big for yourself.
Right.
You can be overwhelmed very easily.
So start in your own backyard, start where you are, and then it'll move in whatever way feels right as you get into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no esoteric way to dig down or get past into past life things to see what the blocks are, or, you know, what is preventing me from moving forward, what, you know, all of that.
Well, a lot of times your block is paralysis of analysis. You're just trying to think it out so much. What should I do? I should have a sign. I should do this. And they're just going, you know what, just get off your backside and just start doing something. And then as you start doing
mm-hmm.
something, then you'll feel the energy to move in whatever direction you need to go. So it could be you've just stopped and you're used to going, and you're just, and what I've seen a commercial, they said a body, you know, they keep doing that, a body in motion stays in motion, a body not in motion does not move. So it's like you want to get moving, and then you'll know which way to go.
Well, I'm moving from 5
okay.
o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Well,
I don't sit still.
Okay, so what are you doing during that time?
Oh, I do have a business and a job that I'm, you know, it is, you know, my second career. It's not something I can give up at this point, but
okay.
entirely, but it's not my calling either, you know, so.
It's not what makes you happy.
No, it isn't.
So is it?
I mean, I am.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I bring happiness to it because that, you know, otherwise I'd be miserable, but it isn't what, I can feel that it's, there's something else. Is what I mean. There's something
okay.
else.
So
maybe regression would help?
Yeah, regression could very well help. I mean, because that's definitely a way, it's the fast approach. It's the fast track to getting the blocks removed, and you speak directly with your higher self and to find out exactly what you had planned when you came in and what is the best thing
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, because you do come
that
in with a
nice.
Plan of what you hope to accomplish.
I'm sorry?
What? I said you do come in with a plan of what you hope to accomplish.
Yes.
But we get in here, you know,
right.
life takes over and we forget what that plan is.
Right.
But they've said many times, and by mean they, the higher self that when I work with, they've said many times, bring joy into your life. Have fun. Stop
uh-huh.
and smell the roses and bring joy.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay.
If you want to have a regression, you know, I've trained over 4,000 people now all over the world, and
mm-hmm.
we have lots of our students that are doing the same work that I'm doing. I had to because
mm-hmm.
I had an 8-year waiting list.
Well, that's happened
yeah.
since you've been.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I had to start training people to take the load off of me. And we have many of my practitioners now who are doing really wonderful work. Where do you live
okay.
and what state?
Well, I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico. We're going to be in New Mexico this next weekend.
And I'm going to see you there.
All right.
We're going to be in Albuquerque.
I am. I just picked the book up I have not known about you. I just was led to the book. I forget how. I picked up The Convoluted Universe. And, of course, I can't start in the beginning. I'm too impatient for that. So I got number 4.
Starting at the hardest one.
Yeah, and it just totally resonated, totally, totally resonated, and brought me a degree of peace. So I immediately signed up to hear you talk in Albuquerque, so I'll be there next weekend, I think, yes.
Yes, it is. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Julia's going to be there. She's going to be doing some workshops.
And then you'll be doing your talk on Sunday.
The last day,
Right. Right.
But
well, I'll be there, and I'm bringing my husband along as well.
Okay, but on our website we have lists of all the people who have taken the class, and this we refer people to that list, and they go down and find somebody that's in their area.
Yeah, or find somebody that resonates with. And then we have some, you know, that are that we recommend that have passed another level of testing that we can hands down recommend them. So. You know, just look and see who resonates with you.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, and I'm glad I got an opportunity to chat with you. This is really unforeseen.
It'll be wonderful to see you next week.
Okay.
And I'll introduce myself if the crowd isn't too big.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Come up to us.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I heard a beep. Yep. There's another caller, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're getting one on top of the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, is somebody there?
Hi, my name is Betsy.
Hi, Betsy.
You got a question?
My question for you, Julia.
Oh.
And I'm one. Okay, I've been seeing the number 333, like, every day, several times a day, for months. So I'm wondering, do you get a feeling... any kind of impression as to what you think that might mean for me?
Well, because you do know it's important to see numbers, that's your guides talking to you, right?
Yeah.
You knew that already, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the master numbers.
When I saw it, I recognized that I needed to pay attention.
Right, good for you. Well, and three specific, I mean, I look any of the numbers, anytime they repeat, that's your guides and those are messages. And sometimes I'll go to actually look them up and see what the meanings are for them. But three, I know they talk about that being the trine, and it means completion, as far as the completion in the way that it's the three, like a triangle, you know, it's that kind of an energy. It's like the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it's that, those kind of things. But it's the Trinity energy.
But 11, 22s, and 33s are master numbers.
Right.
We see them constantly, and we know.
We see the mower that she's got 333. See, you've got, you've got three's the Trinity number, and then you've got a trine of Trinity numbers. So, see, that's So, you're doing something. Okay, I was waiting for it to come in. You're doing something right now, and it's like a good job for you. They're really showing their love. I'm feeling a tremendous amount of love from your guides. Whatever you're doing, they're very proud of you.
So, beautiful. That makes me feel great.
Okay,
one other
question. I'm glad it means something, because I'm sort of like,
You know, when I started noticing the number, and then I was led to read that book by Dr., I think it's Eric Pearl, the Connected Healing.
Yes.
And then I saw the number 333 in that book, so I'm like, oh, so maybe it was leading me to read that book. And then I had the reconnective healing and the reconnection done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure it worked for me.
Well, and when did that happen? When did you do all that?
Okay, I'm thinking it was back in October.
Okay, give it some
time. Then I wasn't sure if I...
Yeah, give it some time. When I did all of mine, now I had something happened when I got the first reconnection. You know, they do the one, and then they do another one like a couple of days later. The second one, nothing. But the first one was really cool. It was like it was pulling all my pieces and parts in, and they were gathering around me. It's like I saw all these, the women of all my lives, and they were showing me all the different parts to me and that I had access to. It was really cool. It was like this homecoming. It was very profound. But then the second one, nothing happened. They said that was fine. It just kind of completed it and seated it. But then after that, it was probably quite a while before I actually did anything with what I had learned. But then when it was time, it just took on a life of its own. And it was maybe, before I actually started really using it, it was almost 3 years. And I was afraid it's gone. You know, I didn't understand energy back then. Like, it won't be there anymore. then somebody made me practice. And I was just amazed.
Well,
my hands felt bounced off of her and the energy and stuff.
When you were really working with energy then.
Right. Now, remember how afraid I was to start trying it?
Yeah.
I was just a bit of that was. Anyway, don't. But it had to kind of, I think it had to do some processing. I had to go through some processing, and it had to go through some processing within me. And then once I started doing it, it completely takes on a life of its own. You have to be willing to allow it to work through you. There's nothing, and Eric teaches it that way, that it's not like you're in control of it. You're just
moving
with it, and just allow it to go with you and pick up whatever you get. And, you know, as far as intuitively, when you're working with it, it's going to happen. You're doing it right. I'm feeling, you're in the process. Just let it happen. You're almost there.
Okay,
just don't push it. Don't be impatient with it. It's got to go through its own timing thing.
Yeah,
you
because
know, a lot
I did discover that in previous life
anyway.
I was a healer. I worked with energy to heal.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I discovered in a past life that I was a healer.
Yeah,
fantastic.
And that I worked with energy to heal. And I've always had this passion to help people in that way, but there's so many modalities, and I'm kind of new to all this, and so I'm just so easily overwhelmed. So the reconnection just resonated with me. That was like, okay, this is what it seems like would work for me. So I was thinking about taking one of his training classes and so forth and so on. So maybe I'll still do that.
Yeah, but allow yourself a little bit of time. You've got to get comfortable with it. And Yeah, give yourself some time to do that. If you become a trainer before you've got to tap back into those other parts of you that know what to do with this.
Okay.
And that's what will happen as you start practicing. It becomes second nature. Your body will know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to that point, then you can go do those training classes.
Oh, okay. Well, this is...
Yeah.
Information.
Because there's so
really
many healing modalities out there, and they're all good in their own way.
Absolutely.
And some people resonate with one or the other. Of course, we have our classes with the hypnosis, and with that, we have instant healing in just one session. It's amazing. And we've trained over 4,000 people. What?
I actually did have a session with one of your practitioners.
Okay.
Did it work?
Two left brain. Did it work for me? No, I'm two left brain.
Well, I was going to ask you in the class that you did on the reconnective healing, how did that go for you? The level one and two, not the reconnection. I mean, anyway, whatever you took, not the reconnection. But how did that? You said it resonated. Did you pick it? Were you able to feel everything and get into the mode pretty easily?
No. Again, I just had, you know, the reconnective healing done on me by a practitioner, and then we did the reconnection. But I have to say, I mean, I didn't have too much of a reaction.
Okay, so you have not gone through a class yet?
No, I've not gone through a class. I just had the reconnection done on me.
Okay, I misunderstood you. I thought you had gone through the class and you were questioning if you should go into the classes to teach you to be a trainer. That's what I was thinking you were saying.
Okay, well, I was wondering if that was after I had the session done and then the actual reconnection, I didn't know if maybe my next step would be to take a class so I could, you know, help others. But, again, I don't think it worked for me as far as healing.
Guess.
But, you know, again, he says if you're lucky, you'll get the healing that you need.
Right. Well, and you have to understand how energy works. And actually it works in the same way. It's any of them, any of the energies, even in the hypnosis, it can happen this way as well. It starts in these outer layers. They're etheric layers, and it starts like with the, you know, it'll be on these mental and emotional. Then it's like physical is the last place for it to manifest any healing.
Uh-huh.
It has to happen in these other areas.
That makes sense.
It requires a change or a healing in your thought patterns. And so you're going to start seeing changes there. And then as those start changing, then it'll change something in the emotional pattern. And then when the emotions start changing, then the physical will start changing. Because as we know, everything is tied to these things. I mean, that's what they're signs of. Just, okay, your bodies are signs of this. You know, this is messages.
Yeah, because we know what the illness is trying to tell the person.
Right. And so that's where you have to change. These other things have to heal or change first. And so sometimes people are looking for this immediate change physically, and that's not really possible. These other things have to change first. And so you just watch for that to start happening, and then you'll just start, all of a sudden, the physical will just start changing, and you're going to go, well, I wonder why that happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great information, Julia. I do appreciate it. Thank
you
guys
so
much.
I do encourage you to go. If that resonates with you, go check it out. At least take a level one class and see how you feel about it.
Right.
Yeah. But keep exploring.
That's what I was
keep looking.
About. Okay.
This is what we're into right now. This is the way things are changing.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Betsy.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Well, they haven't got Travis yet. I bet you anything the time has gotten messed up. Because it's a different time zone. Okay, let's go back. We were talking about Tony in the movie 701. And why he chose that title. I think we got time for one more caller here. We're going to be watching the clock now. Okay, who's there?
Hello, I'm Dolores and Julia. My name is Patty, and I'm calling from Reno, Nevada. And first of all, I just want to thank the two of you for all the work that you've done over the years. I really do appreciate it, as so many others as well. I just bought your books in the last 5 or 6 months, and I was really intrigued by your work and really just really amazed. And I've had some interesting things in my life over the years. Of course, I'm not going to get into that. But there's one thing that when I read your book, I believe it's in The Custodians, and this is actually the first time that I saw something that I believe it maybe correlates to myself as well. See, there's over 25 years ago, there was an incident where I got up one morning, I was getting ready to go to work, and all of a sudden I encountered, there's like a drip right in between my nose, not in the nostril, kind of like in the bridge. And it was like a drop after drop after drop. And I found that very odd, very strange, and I actually thought it was coming from my nostril. So what I did is that I just looked into the mirror for a while, trying to look exactly where that drop was coming from. And I can see that it's just coming right in the middle of my nose, I mean, out of the skin itself, like a large, you know, as if he had the faucet on and there's like a drip going on. And I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't feel anything. I didn't have any headache. I didn't feel anything wrong with me or anything like that. Well, long story short is that I had to be out of work for about 2 weeks, and my face kind of became kind of disfigured for a while. It seems like it was inflamed, my forehead, my cheeks. And, you know, I was living with my mother and my aunt at the time, and my mother's took some pictures of me, and she was really concerned. You know, she kind of, I believe she mentioned to go to the doctor. I never went out of the house. I didn't go to the doctor or anything like that because I didn't feel anything. I just thought maybe I had something. And I remember her questioning me if I went to camping or if I went anywhere in the woods. I said, no, it can't be poison oak. It can't be this because I haven't done anything out of the ordinary. And so she actually took some pictures, and she was worried, oh, my goodness, you know, maybe you're going to be that way for the rest of your life. No, I'm not going to be this way, I told her. And she took some pictures, right, and then over the years, somehow they disappeared. She could never find them. They never turned out anywhere or whatsoever. Then when I read your book, Dolores, I saw that there's a section in there that for some person or some people it has happened, the same that it sounds like to me from what I read that happened to me. I've not heard of that anywhere on TV and in any book or anything at all. And so I was just really curious about that, if you have any thoughts on that, I guess.
Okay, this is on the, now we apologize because we couldn't hear you for a little bit of what you said.
Because they interrupted talking about trying to get a hold of Travis, and that overshadowed what you were saying. So we missed a chunk of it there.
So did you have a rash or you had something in your nose? You said a drip, drip, drip. It was where we last heard you, and then came back in that there was something that you thought, that your mother thought might be poison ivy or poison oak. So was it a rash or something on you that she took pictures of?
No, it wasn't a rash or anything like that. All it was is kind of like a drip right in the middle of underneath my nose. It was not coming from my nostril or anything like that. I actually just stood in the mirror to watch to see where it's coming, and it was just like a drop coming out of to my nose, which is very odd, and there was nothing to correlate to where I've been to or what I've done, because nothing was out of the unusual. And then within a few days...
We apologize, we missed a lot of that. But what in my book that you said you had never found anywhere else?
Well, there was a section, I believe, in the book, in the custodians, that it talks about, a person, or you said that some people have had that as well, if they've been abducted, that they've had some kind of liquid or drop coming from their nose, in the middle of their bridge, I guess, in their nose. And like I said, my mother took some pictures, but then they disappeared. She could never find them or anything. And
okay, I think you're talking about the implants. The implants are not negative. They are really there to help you.
And a lot of times they're put up there in the nose.
Yeah, they put them up in the nostrils, so it's the closest you can come to the brain. And they have definite reasons, and I think I gave all the reasons in the book, too. But it's not anything to be afraid of. Because I have never, in all the 27 years I've been working with UFOs and ETs, I've never found any negative experience. Because they always explain why it's happening, and it's all happening for a reason. If that is what it is, we don't know for sure if it was ETs or not. But if it is, all they're doing is taking care of you, so it's not anything to be afraid of.
I see. So in other words, if I really want to find out for sure, it's probably a good idea to go under hypnosis.
Yeah, you can find out. My technique is you can, because we bypass the conscious mind. A lot of the other hypnotists, the conscious mind is very present, and you have all that emotion and everything not a good story. You don't get the real story.
If you do hypnosis, it might be best with someone that's more familiar with this and not afraid of it, because some people don't know how to handle these possible situations. So, and the people taking Dolores' classes, especially level 2s, they're trained in how to better handle some of these situations. So you might, just be careful about who you go
to. Yeah, because a lot of hypnotists Okay.
Right.
But I hope that helps anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yes, I mean, I've had many dreams about UFOs in the past 25 years, and I've had like a compelling urge that I've got to do something, and sometimes it drives me crazy. But I know I got to get moving and do the things that I need to do. It's just a compelling urge, and sometimes I cannot really, so to speak, put a finger on it to what exactly. I almost feel like I'm going to sometimes explode if I don't hurry up.
Well, we were talking to the other lady wanting to know about purpose, and you're here to help others. So you got to find what is that you really would make you happy along that line.
Right. Okay, let me ask you, are you guys ever going to be out in Reno, Nevada by chance?
I've been there, done that.
Yeah,
but
not Albuquerque's as close as we're going to get right now.
It will be in Albuquerque next weekend. But we have the UFO conference we're putting on here in Arkansas in April. But we're going to have to sign off because we're coming up to the top of the hour, and they're going to pull the plug on me. But
okay, well, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Patty.
I encourage you to keep investigating, keep exploring, and you'll find the answers. And believe me, it's not negative. Okay, well, thank you. Well, we are coming up to the top of the hour, and they said Travis came in there, but it was right at the end.
But
when
it was time mix-up.
We were taking callers, and so we didn't get him online. So we will schedule him for another show.
Well, hopefully we can, because I know he's a busy man, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping we can get him in after we come back from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. And
make it great. Have a great hopefully everybody have a great time with all this wonderful weather that's on upon us all.
the whole weather system has gone crazy. Okay, but good night, everybody.
Good night.